So I'll read the English so we can get a little time since I use my time for the introduction. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not see Murari amongst the devotees, he inquired about him. Thereupon, many people immediately went to Murari, running to take him to the Lord. What an interesting passage. He's not running to the Lord. People are running to him to take him to the Lord. Thus, Murari Gupta, catching two bunches of straw, please pay attention to this, catching two bunches of straw in his teeth, went before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with humility and meekness. 155. Upon seeing Murari come to meet him, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went up to him, but Murari began to run away and speak as follows. My dear Lord, please do not touch me. I'm most abominable, and I'm not fit for your touch because my body is sinful. The Lord replied. The Lord said, my dear Murari, please restrain your unnecessary humility. My mind is disturbed by your meekness. 158. Saying this, the Lord embraced Murari and had him sit down by his side. The Lord then began to cleanse his body with his own hands. 159 to 160. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then again and again embraced all the devotees, including Acharya Ratna, Vidyanidhi, Pandit Gadadhara, Gangadas, Hari Bhakta, and Acharya Purandara. The Lord described their good qualities and glorified them again and again. After thus offering respect to each and every devotee, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very jubilant. However, not seeing Haridas Thakur, he inquired, where is Haridas? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then saw in the distance that Haridas Thakur was lying down, flat on the road, offering obeisances. Haridas Thakur did not come to the Lord's meeting place, the Lord's meeting place, but remained fallen flat on the common road at a distance. All the devotees then went to Haridas Thakur saying, the Lords want to meet you. Please come immediately. Is that it? Oh, here's verse 165. Haridas Thakur replied, I cannot go near the temple because I'm a low caste, abominable person. I have no authority to go there. Purport. By His Divine Grace, I see Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Although Haridas Thakur was such a highly exalted Vaishnava that he was addressed as Haridas Goswami, but still, he did not like to disturb the common sense of the general populace. Haridas Thakur was so exalted that he was addressed as Thakur or Goshani. All these titles are offered to most advanced Vaishnavas. The spiritual master is generally called Goshani, and Thakur is used to address the Paramahansas, those in the topmost rank of spirituality. Nonetheless, Haridas Thakur did not want to go near the temple, although he was called there by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. The Jagannath temple still accepts only those Hindus who are in the Varnashram order. So we are not considered inside the Varnashram order, so they don't let us in. Other castes, especially those who are not Hindus, are not allowed to enter the temple. This is a long-standing regulation, and thus Haridas Thakur, although certainly competent and qualified to enter the temple, did not want to even go near it. This is called Vaishnava humility. Srila Prabhupada ki. Amakyanna timirandasyam. Janam janam jalakayam chakshura militan jena tasmai shri gurave namaha vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda sri advaita gadadha shivasadi gaura bhakta vrinda hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Sri Haridas Thakur ki. The Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is the nectarian sweet pastimes of Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And in this specific passage, I pray that you all, senior Vaishnavas in the room and listening, offer your blessings to this very unqualified servant of Krishna who is doing this out of service. I had to pay my ticket, so I'm paying my ticket serving you. So, this passage which we're reading today is extremely important for us. Bhakti yogis, practitioners of the Bhakti yoga path. The verse I chose to repeat is because that verse is the transition verse, is the verse that signals that now humility is being discussed. And Murari Gupta, he was a Ram Bhakta, am I right? And he could not convert. They tried to convert him, but they couldn't. He says, I'm loyal. Hanumanji is very dear to me. He lives near Mayapur. We go to his house sometimes. Very static personalities. And he was so humble, considering himself not qualified for the mercy of the Lord. The first question is this a decoration or is this necessary? The first answer is, it is necessary because the whole parampara is based on a humble, loving exchange. That's the foundation of this. And on this foundation, you can build the different rasas. Without this foundation, the whole building falls. When the gopis became proud, boom, Krishna disappeared. They can out of rasa, but at the same time, it makes the whole building fall. Because Krishna is not proud. Why is Krishna not proud? Because everything is from him. Pride is his. So why would he be proud? He's not enchanted by the material energy or the spirit energy because they come from him. It's him. But at the same time, he is enchanted by Srimati Radharani. And she can turn his mind around at any moment, but the humility element is the ultimate foundation of that relationship. There's a place in Vrindavan where Srimati Radharani was very angry with Krishna, and the only pacifying attitude that he got, because he was trying to please Srimati Radharani, was to play dandavats to her. It's a famous pilgrimage place. So humility again. We come back to the foundation of the building. Why is humility so important on a second level? If you look at the word human, and if you look at humility, they have the same root in Latin. Humility is the natural foundation of the human civilization. Because humility allows exchange. Humility allows feelings. Humility allows understanding. Great empires failed because they were not humble. The Mongols, the British, when they went to India, the Mongols were a little humbler than the British because they said, all right, we'll rule, but you will be the pundits. Sanatana Goswami was the minister. Rupa Goswami was the minister. They accepted the culture. They lived with the culture. So we only be the taxing element of your government, but you rule it. And by doing that, they could live so many hundreds and thousands of years together. But the British people, they didn't have that same background. So they tried to change the Indian people from Hindus to Christians. And that didn't work. It only lasted 350 years. And Srila Prabhupada came to the UK once when this temple was starting. You can imagine the anticipation of these three couples who came here. And they are people who are in America doing their own some things. And they meet this transcendental personality who changes their life and sends them to London, to conquer London. We've spoken in previous classes how they went so many austerities, children in the house, cold water. Cold water in the UK for a South American is almost like unbearable to think about. But they went through this. They didn't have enough funds. And that became what you know today as the Bhaktivedanta Manor, the Soho Temple, the British Yatra, where the temple president, she associates with the king of this country. She's invited to his events. What levels have you reached? So the humility aspect of civilization is very important. The British never expected that they'll have an Indian background prime minister. And there he is. Is he doing well? In your evaluation? It's already changed. So it lasted a little bit. You had your time. Your slot was there. But you're there. The influence is around there. I see I live on a farm. I don't update my news so much. You also find interesting that the same root of humility is in a product called humus. Humus, whoever is a gardener, is that black earth that when you smell, reminds you of good stuff, childhood, happiness. There's actually a few ascomycetes, living entities, which produce happiness. Do you know when it rains, do you feel happy? When you're walking, the rain starts to hit, it's not too cold that you can enjoy it in the rain. That aroma is a little microorganism which comes up and you smell it and it makes you feel happy. Because there is abundance on the way. That's a signaling message from the planet. Abundance is coming up. So, humility, humanity, humus, soil, civilization, the cows. Prabhupada says, if you don't have cow protection, you don't have human civilization. And there you are, that's the link. Because human civilization will require humility to understand transcendental topics. Because this is the thread of our sampradaya. If you make a garland and each flower is an offering, someone was taking hours to do this, meditating, which flowers goes where, what's the combination, what shall I put at the end, how to enhance beauty, aesthetics. All of this, meditation. But the thread which is uniting all these flowers in our sampradaya is humility. So when we become proud, we don't fit in the garland. And here, this great associate like Murari Gupta, he's saying that, Lord, I actually don't belong. And that's the biggest qualification to be on the garland. So the Lord say, no, come. And he hugs him. He cleanses his body. And Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur, we pray that we one day we get his blessings in the holy, in the chanting of the holy names. Haridas Thakur, he messed it up once because without understanding who that little boy was, he stole all the cowherd men and the calves. And he understood, hey, I've messed up with this personality. I've really, really messed up my life. And he lives for a long time. When you make the calculation of numbers of years of Lord Brahma, it's an incredible big number of years. We start to think that our life is quite temporary. And he was regretting. And as a blessing, he was allowed to be part of the Sri Chaitanya Lila as Haridas Thakur. But just to make sure that he would not make the same mistake, he was born in a Muslim family. And so he was kind of in between two cultures, not understood by either. And he was so humble that one time they said, we have to kill him because he's disturbing. He's disturbing the status quo of this place. So they beat him in how many markets? 22 markets. They're beating him. Not like, you know, like you chastise your child. Something like that. They're beating him with huge, very wicked whips. And that's sha. And he's there. And at one point, he understands. They say he's not going to die. And they say, Prabhuji, please die, because if you don't die, we die. So he enters into samadhi. And then he's dead and throws him in the river, if I recall correctly. Am I correct? If I make mistakes, my memory is going a little bit. You please correct me. And he's thrown in the river. And when he meets the Lord says, yes, I know, I know. And then he shows his back. Can you see? I was taking your whips. Because I could not tolerate to see you, so dear devoted to me, going through this pain. So as you see, humility is very integral part of our bhakti movement, of our Chaitanya Lila in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Haridas Thakur, he's so humble that he's anticipating the pain of the pandas in Jagannath Puri Mandir. And he doesn't want to inflict pain on them. He says, no, no, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I will stay. And finally, after a long conversation, he says, if you arrange a place here on a distance near, what's his name? Yes, but there's a person who is the owner of the house. He's mentioned here in the purport. A little... Kashimishra. Have you been to Kashimishra's place? Who's been to Kashimishra's place? Yes, Puri? No? You're missing out. You should go. It's very nice. This place is such a nice meditation place for us. You should go to Jagannath Puri. You should organize with your bhakti leaders. Please, I will subscribe to go on a tour with you to Jagannath Puri. Please take me. And he finds a place not very far away from Lord Chaitanya's place, and there he stays. But he's staying on the hot sun, and the hot sun can be hot in India. And just chanting. And the Lord manifests from a stick which is cleaning the teeth of Lord Jagannath. He just puts it on the ground, and this amazing bakul tree is just growing as shade for Haridas Thakur Goshani. Haridas Thakur is our Namacharya. And he's manifesting to us externally what it requires to enter in that holy market business. Because you see, the holy market is not a simple market. There are many tiers. It's not that you can be the top businessman just like you enter in a top businessman. You do small business. You give a book. You speak about Krishna to someone. When you get to the higher levels, you're taking shiploads of goods. So those businessmen are giving us blessing to start our business today. Get ready for the marathon. Start getting ready. I want to distribute books and I want to get the embrace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I'm boldly adding to the mix. Let's grow your Gauranga pot for the Lord. So books and pots, yes, for the Lord. Can you see how nice you meet someone in the streets and you offer him lemon balm? Says, smell this. Huh? Wow, yes, we produce this in our farm. Here's a book for you. So the farm department has to have a little bag of herbs on your side. And the Sankirtan devotee can explain, oh, this herb, it's excellent for your health. It will treat your stomach pain. Top, for free. Take it. And if you want more, we'll supply it at Holland Farm. Just give us a call. So we need to connect our businesses, an ecosystem of business. That's how Apple flourishes. You get an iPhone. Who's got an iPhone in the room? Be honest. Very, 2, 3, 4. Are you being honest with me? Come on. Android? You're all Android here. Apple. The UK is kind of revolutionary. I start to see you. So many Androids. Excellent. I'm also an Android guy. You know, I have an Android. Well, and it's quite old, but it's still working, so I keep it. So what happens is Apple understood. I make an iPhone. Now, if you want to transfer your pictures peacefully, you need a MacBook because it just won't go. It's a nightmare. You know? You want to send files, I need to find someone with a MacBook because my one broke. So I say, hey, what is this? I'm now enclosed. But then they make the most incredible technology. We talk to each other like music. Your pictures immediately transfer to your MacBook, which is immediately transferred to somewhere else, which is immediately published somewhere else. Why do I want to leave Apple? No, I want to stay with Apple. So they think about ecosystems. We Hare Krishnas have to also think like ecosystems because we have them. First of all, what's our topmost ecosystem? The spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. We can give Goloka Vrindavan to people right away. Then you can also give Vaikuntha as another product, because some people are from Vaikuntha, and that's okay. The Lord says that's okay. He doesn't have a problem with that. You can also give all the formula to live a peaceful life and at the end of your life, go back home. So you can offer the paradises. You can offer how to live a decent dharmic life while you're here. All of that is in our ecosystem. Who is giving that product? We are. And so many meditation groups become so famous, kirtaniers, but we have the real stuff. So if we start using our products, transcendental products, in the holy name market as an ecosystem, you start to see it starts to make a magic, because someone coming here smell a balm sage from the New Holland Farm, goes to the New Holland Farm, they give you a book which reflects to the book distributor, which throws them to the Bhakti Shastra department. You have to study this philosophy. It's all an ecosystem. They go on a bullock cart ride and they experience the chakra going back to place, you know? When you travel at a certain speed, all your chakras go out of place. Especially if you're in India. Your chakras are everywhere, like on a train, on a bus, on a rickshaw. And then when you jump into a bullock cart, it puts back in place. There you are. You're human again. And I made the test myself. I took three couples as a witness of my experiment. I wanted to have to make a proper experiment. So myself and three, one from Czech Republic, one from Brazil, one from the US. So I have three different cultures. Let's see what happens. And we took the bullock cart of the Concrete Bulls. Are you familiar? Concrete doesn't ring a bell. When you see the Padayatra of India, those huge horns, that's the Concrete. That breed is so beautiful because it goes back to the Indo Valley civilization. When they go to this, when you go to the London Museum, you see this archaeological items. You see cows from that time with big horns, Concrete. So the Concrete is a very stable breed, and Mayapur Dam has adopted that breed. So here are two Concrete bulls, which could be like, what's the top car today in the UK? There's a fight. I can see a big fight. We used to say it was Rolls Royce, but today I don't know. What's the top vehicle? Bentley. If you have a Bentley, you're good. So if a Bentley drives, he's a good patron. So Bentley, right? So these are the Bentley of Mayapur. Concrete bulls with a big bullock cart and three Western couples. And here's the Gaura Purnima festival where all the devotees came to see the Lord. Just like here, they all went to Puri to see the Lord. And the Lord is personally hugging each one and personally receiving each one. So here, all these 100,000 Bengalis come to Mayapur Dam to glorify Gauranga Mahaprabhu. What is that? I didn't hear you. You didn't have breakfast yet. Jai. Some Gaura Bhaktis there. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu, they came to see the Lord Gauranga. And here's these three Western couples on a bullock cart. You can't imagine what I saw. Wow. The faces, the expressions of happiness in the dam as these majestic bulls with a very good driver. He looks very like Punjabi, Indian, nice features, turban, and he's driving us. And we are going and chanting holy names inside the bullock cart, and we go. As soon as we go like for 1 kilometer, all the Western starts to become a little bit, can I get out? What do I do now? It's too peaceful. And then they resist, and they're too ashamed to jump off the bullock cart, and they stay because, well, we was invited here. So they stay. We do a little Harinam, little Sankirtan, 1 more kilometer. All of a sudden, a peaceful mood starts to take care of all of them, including me. And we're looking, and here comes the Mayapurvasis. Doesn't matter, Hindu, Muslim, doesn't matter. They have such a face of happiness and joy to see the bulls. It's like they're being nurtured, their culture is alive again. And they see these bulls coming to their end. And they're saying, almost, Haribo! And they're paying obeisances, the ones who are devotees, and we're passing through. By the time we reach Jagannath Mandir, we have chanted a few rounds of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna. And I realize that I'm fully focused on the holy names. The speed of the bulls and the meditation, they're just like, they don't just match. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You can feel it. I can see you can feel it. The bullock cart riding, and we are chanting the holy names, I had a deep realization. And the holy dam of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kolave Sridhar is coming on the side, and you're thinking, wow, what a gift to be here. And you're starting to get appreciative of the holy dam, appreciative of time. You have time. We switch off our phones. We start to appreciate the holy dam, and we start to slow down to the human layer. That's a report how the chakras go back to its place. And when you put them with the holy names, it just hits unlimited bliss. So here, humility is the top of the verse, is the thread of the necklace. And Haridas Thakur is demonstrating that. There's a secondary topic which I wanted to bring to your attention today, and I'm unsure if I should. It's a very good topic. Would you prefer to have a live interaction of question and answers, or would you prefer me to tell this interesting topic and have a smaller question and answers? The choice is yours. My topic. My topic is His Holiness Krishna Kshetra Swami Maharaj. He went to a place and they have a kind of a therapeutical system to heal emotions. And it's in America, it's called the Sedona method. I don't know if any of you have ever read that Sedona method. And basically what it is that they group your emotions in categories. And they realize that the ancient traditions like our bhakti has the key to heal very deep emotions which they cannot go there that far. So Krishna Kshetra Swami, being an expert in Shastra, he categorized the emotions in the three modes. So what he said was, the lower emotions we can have, meaning the ones with less energy, is apathy. When you find yourself with a lot of apathy, that's the lowest vibration emotion. It's really in the most tamasic. Depression has a lot of that. If you see a lot of people who are feeling neglected, dejected, they have apathy to the world. Because those are very low vibration emotions. A little more energy on top of that is grief. You're very sorry that this happened. You're full of sorrow, lost something very dear to you. For a moment, I thought I had lost my japa, and I was very sorry. So I said, oh, I'm going to the lower emotions of... But it was with me all the time. A little higher is fear. It's still in tamas, but it's fear. You're fearing things to protect yourself from a danger, a wild animal, a thief, something bad, but it's still in the lower modes. As the emotions gain more energy, they go in the second realm, which is the passion mode. And the passion mode starts with desire. Desire has a lot of energy. If you have children, when you say, let's go to the shopping center, yeah, you see energy in the room. They really change and they get very easy, jumping up and down. Or if you have a wife and you say, let's go to the shopping center, I have a black credit card. Really? Or the Prabhus, well, let's go to the hardware shop or the computer. Or if you're a scholar, let's go to the bookshop. So all of a sudden, your mind starts to fill with anticipation. And under that, of course, is anger. As the Bhagavad Gita suggests, your desires will not be fulfilled, so anger is naturally to come up. And below that is pride. You see that everybody, when they have a Bentley, a certain energy is there. The way they look at the world, the way they look at you, you can feel they're sturdy, they're not depressed, like they're driving a certain mood, right? Because this energy is there. Now those are the mode of passion. As you go a little higher, you get the topmost, which is peace. The peace. And that's why the Sedona method, the ancient methods can give you peace. A little under that is acceptance. Now, acceptance is a very broad range because acceptance will host forgiveness, acceptance will host gratitude. All of these are very high vibrating emotions. And under that is courage. When you have the courage, when you had the courage to face bhakti and you said, yes, I found it, let me give up these other habits and let me join the temple. Did you experience that? At one point, you just had that impetus to come and join. That's courage. So courage is a driving force which can lead you to goodness or can lead you to passion. Some warriors are very courageous for the wrong cause and it drops them to ignorance. Passion and ignorance. as the British and Scottish War. There's a lot of Braveheart as a movie. You can see that leading to a lot of that. So what is the purpose for us Bhakti Yogis? The purpose is, we tend to think that we should repress, suppress our emotions. We should just shut them down. This is Maya. I don't listen to you. But when you do that, you know, when you compress a spring, what does it do? It jumps way further. If any parent here, when you have teenager children, we try to compress them into, no, you should chant, you should do this. You compress, you should. All of a sudden, bam! When you look, your son has gone so far away from what you thought. You say, oh my Krishna. Until you become humble again and you approach your child with humility and says, I really love you. Maybe that choice wasn't the best. Maybe this choice could be better. Yeah, you're right. Then they listen to you. Because what can you achieve by suppression? The Bhagavad Gita is spot on, 333. What would you achieve, Arjuna? But you have to act according to your nature. If you suppress it, what can you achieve? Only reaction. So then, Prabhu, you might ask me, what should we do with these emotions? They're there. And one of the things we did not do, we're not taught to do, is how to deal with these lower emotions. And what the Sedona method does, it poses a question to your emotion. Let's take apathy. Still hurt. Someone did something to you. You're feeling hurt. So you become, I'm not going to talk to him. Isn't it very common in I know my daughters, when they have friends and they give a cold arm, they said, okay. So they don't call, they don't speak, but they're suffering with that emotion of apathy, right? So if you make a question, the question is, can I let go of apathy? You make the question. By making the question, what happens to you is your buddhi, your intelligence, distances from the mind, because emotions are the mind. It distances from the mind. And when it distances from the mind, it gets energy to think and contemplate. The answer may be no. I will never go back to that friend. Look what she did to me. No, I will not go. That's an answer. Or maybe, I don't know if I can let go of apathy. Or maybe yes. So, wherever is the emotion from the lower to the sattvic, we are suppressing them. We are not addressing them. And by addressing the emotion, you resolve the emotion, and the emotion then can be transformed. Now think about it. The Bhagavad Gita starts with peace. If you haven't dealt with your lower emotions, how can you have peace? That feeling that was there forever, I always wanted to have a BMW, I never had it. It's always in your heart. It's coming up and you're striving to get it. But it's the emotion that you have to deal with. If you deal with the emotion, it's solved. Maybe Krishna will say, okay, now you take it. And when you have it, it's just a car. So dealing with the lower emotions is extremely important. So you come to the peaceful platform, and then we entertain in the higher, let's say, stories of this holy name market, where the real business is, the heavy transaction business going on. And this is a heavy transaction business moment. All of the Bengali devotees have come to Puri to see the Lord. So the amount of emotions being transferred is unsurmountable. We cannot judge how many millions of emotions are flowing here. Because if the Lord, the supreme controller, creator, does it mean for him to go to Murari Gupta and says, Murari Gupta, don't disturb my mind. To disturb the mind of the Lord, you have to disturb the whole universe. It's a enormous quantity of emotion which is being moved here. And that's what's happening on the top floor of this holy name Story shopping center. And they're there. But what is the passcode? Humility. Dandavats. What is the code? Chanting. Chanting incessantly. One of the Goswamis dug a hole so nobody would see him. Not even the birds would disturb his meditation. You can go to this cave. It's cool. It's very interesting. You chant the holy names there. Have you ever chanted the Maha Mantra in front of the Rupa Goswami Samadhi? Who has done that? Raise your hand. Fortunate souls. I have once. I was a bhakta, just came to India, first time. And they said, if you chant the holy names here, it counts for 1,000. I said, 1,000? Every little bead is 1,000. I'm so late in my japa. I'm going to take opportunity of this place. And I seriously prayed for Rupa Goswami. You know, when you're a child and you make a genuine prayer to a father, it's very genuine. It's just like, oh, Rupaji, I'm lost here. Help me out. And the incredible miracle happened. For the first time in my life, I was not chanting. The chanting was pulling the mind. My mind was like a child being pulled. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I couldn't stop it. I was running after the Maha Mantra. It's not I was chanting them. I was being pulled by the Maha Mantra and chanting around the Samadhi, the old Samadhi, when you can see from Prabhupada's quarters. It was such a mystical experience for me. I was just entering the world. I was right, I'm not even the entrance of the holy name market. And the chanting was so powerful that it, until today, I remember that chanting. So that's what's happening on the highest doors. And by some chance, you kind of collide with these huge business people. And they say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And if you study when Krishna left the planet, yesterday I had a beautiful devotee called the effulgence of Lord Gauranga Das. He was giving a lecture and he was talking about when Krishna left, how Maharaj Yudhisthira was relating to that. And he did not suppress the feeling of pain or grief. He exposed it to Bhima, his younger brother. He's making questions which exposes the feeling and lets the feeling flow. So this is how we deal with feelings. And that's what's the message of humility. It's the passcode for this Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. Hare Krishna. We have 2 minutes for questions, comments, corrections. Yes. And then something there and something here, something there.
Humility is a wonderful one, actually, because it's our swan song, and it's Trinadapi Sunichana, Tarori Vasashnana, Amanena Manadena, Kirtani Shadhana. One should chant the holy names of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and be ready to offer all respect to others and not expect respect for ourselves.
Haribol, thank you for that reflection. I can see you there and I appreciate and I pray for your blessings. Hare Krishna. We had a question maybe on this other end of the room and something was here. Somebody raised their hand on this side. No, just an impression. Okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your question, class. Just on the topic of humility, we hear the statement, too much devotion is a sign of a thief, and I assume the same applies for humility. So I just wanted to ask, what is the difference between true humility and false humility? We can see in this verse, especially on the board, Haridas Thakur is kind of self-deprecating, and I feel like speaking for myself, we do this self-deprecation, but there's no true humility backing that. It's the facade, so to speak. So, yeah, what is the difference between true humility and false?
What's the difference between true humility and false humility? I'll give you a business example. Let's say you want to buy sugar and you don't know who is your seller. And then you go to a seller and face to face you say, do you have the sugar? And he says, yes, I do. Okay, so prove it to me that you have the sugar. There's some methods. And you cannot prove it. You don't have the sugar. You're just bluffing. But if you have the sugar, you say, yes, I do. Can you show me? Here it is. If you're a genuine buyer, do you have the money to pay? Here it is. So that's in business. What is in bhakti? If you do have that bank account of Haridas Thakur, you can be as humble as he is. If you don't have and you try to fake it, we'll see it. You will see it. The Lord will see it. Everybody will see it. So some people try to be more humble than the humble. And it's evident. But if you're truly humble, he's running away from the Lord. Jayananda Prabhu, have you heard of him? He was the Prabhupada Ratha Yatra man in North America. He was a taxi driver. When Prabhupada was giving a class, all the swamis were sitting right here, out the room, and Jayananda is right at the back. And Prabhupada would stop the class and says, where is my Jayananda? Prabhupada was looking for him because he had the bank account. He had the bhakti to stay day and night making those Ratha Yatra cards. It was genuine. He had the account. The money is there. And we know when we are faking. And we know when it's real. So my personal approach to that is, when I feel that I may be faking unconsciously, I try to step back. And when they give you a position like they give me, I always try to make sure that I'm not taking advantage under a false premise, opposite-wise. Oh, Prabhu, you're a minister, you should be in front. And then you go as a minister, but actually you're proud. I'm in front, I'm a minister. Oh. So I always check that with myself. And sometimes I like to walk, sometimes I like to take a bus, sometimes I like to stay back, just to check my own, how much this has grown into me, that pride. And how much is it real, you know? So I know that disciples of His Holiness Radhanath Swami are advised to clean the bathrooms regularly, just to remember we are servants. And today I saw Prabhuji here, such exalted Vaishnava, cleaning the beans. I said, well, this is true humility, Vaishnava humility. He's serving the Vaishnavas. And in our Acharya line, all the Acharyas, if you take Shyamananda, he was doing menial service for his guru. But it was genuine. It was not something to impress, to show, to get a benefit. It was a genuine devotion to the Lord. So humility is such an energy, like the cheat potency. You cannot cheat. You cannot cheat. You cannot cheat, cheat. There you go. A good line. When a kirtanier is genuine, the kirtan goes through him and you just inundate the room with bhakti. But if you want to impress, no matter how much you move your arms or your voice, the kirtan stays flat. You had that experience? And from nowhere, sometimes you're distracted and the cheat potency hits you and everybody's jumping. You say, what's happening? I don't understand. That's the cheat potency. Confirmed. So the cheat potency is what connects us to the Lord. And that cheat potency runs on humble cables. Those are the humble cables that transmit this energy, this vibration. So for them, they're in ecstatic love of God because they are in that connection. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. One more and we'll have to end or we get in trouble again with the Bhakti Shastri department. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Beautiful breath. I'm not sure if I understood the relation. distinction between humility and expressing emotions. So I just want to check. Are you saying that actually expressing our emotions is a sign of humility? So the other way around, if we suppress our emotions, is that a sign of pride, that I'm okay, I have no problem, like that?
Not necessarily. What I was trying to convey is that humility is the means to attain the constant chanting of the holy names, as Prabhuji read in Trinada Pivaras. The different emotions that we have, they need to be dealt with so we can reach the higher emotions and from there access the spiritual message. So suppressing your emotions is not necessarily pride. It can be many things. It can be fear, it can be apathy, it can be delusion with the world, it can be upbringing, so many things. But as an individual, if I know how to address my own very ancient feelings, what's the most ancient feeling we have within us? The denial that Krishna is God. That's the deepest. And it's therefore life after life after life after life after life. So we have to answer that one. And that one takes a whole lifetime of practice to surrender to Krishna and answer that one. Is it okay?
Thank you. So expressing emotions helps towards humility.
Expressing emotions to the right people with the right questions at the right time helps. Not just expressing. Expressing your emotions with the right people, the right way, the right time, helps you. Suppressing your emotions will not help you in any circumstance. Is that okay?
Thank you.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanandi.